Chapter 2. Vision. Surprise is an insubstantial blade, a sword worthless in war. It breaks when troops rally. It snaps when commanders hold the line. But fear never fades. Fear is a blade that sharpens with use. So let the enemy know we come. Let their fears defeat them as everything falls dark, as the world's sun sets, as the city is wreathed in its final night. Let 10,000 howls promise 10,000 claws. The Night Lords are coming, and no soul that stands against us shall see another dawn. The War Sage Malkarion. Excerpted from his work, The Tenebrous Path. Talos walked the corridors of the Covenant, wearing his battle armor without the confining presence of his helm. While he lacked the vision-enhancing modes the helmet's sensors offered, there was a comforting clarity in piercing the ship's darkness with his natural sight. The mortal crew struggled to see in the blackness, their eyes too weak to perceive the trace illumination emitted by the ship's powered-down lighting. They were permitted lamp packs, allowing them to see in the dark when they must move from one part of the ship to another. To the Nostromo-born Astartes, the gloom simply didn't exist. Talos moved through the wide passageways, nearing the war room, which had long since become the meditation chambers of the Exalted. A natural attuning, coupled with the genetic manipulations performed on his brain during his ascension into the ranks of the 8th Legion, meant he saw the Covenant's interior as clearly as dawn on a far brighter world. Sirion, clad in his own warplate, drew alongside. Talos glanced at his brother, noting the creases of strain around Sirion's black eyes. It was strange to see one of his fellow legionaries show signs of age, but Talos was under no delusions. Sirion was struggling under the pressure of his own curse, one that weighed upon his brother far more heavily than Talos's own visions racked him.
"You're not coming in with me," Talos said. "So why are you following?"
"I might come in," Sirion replied.
Both of them knew how unlikely that was. Sirion avoided the Exalted at all costs.
"Even if you wanted to, the Atramentar will bar your way."
They walked through the labyrinthine halls of the great ship, accustomed to the silence that framed their presence.
"They might," conceded Sirion. "They might not. I'll let you keep that mistaken belief for another few minutes, Sai. Don't ever say I am not a generous soul."
Talos scratched the back of his shaven head as he spoke. One of his implant ports, a socket of chrome in his spine just above his shoulder blades, had started aching these past few days. It was an irritating, dull pulse at the edge of his attention, and he felt the vibrating hum of the symbiotic coupling there that merged him to his armor. The machine spirit of his warplate must be appeased soon, and Septimus would need to be set to work preparing the unguents and oils that Talos used to tend to his inflamed junction sockets. The invasive neural connections from his armor into his body were growing aggravated from the amount of time he spent in battle. Even his inhuman healing and physical regeneration could only cope with so much. In better days, several Legion serfs and tech adepts would have tended to his bionic augmentations and monitored his gene enhancements between battles. Now he was reduced to a single slave. And as talented as Septimus was as an artificer, Talos trusted no one to come near his unarmored form, not even his own vassal, and especially not his brother's.
"Zarl is looking for you."
"I know."
"Uzas as well. They want to know what you saw while afflicted." I told them. I told you all. I saw Nostromo, a shard of our home world, spinning in the void. I saw the female navigator. I saw the vessel we destroyed.
And yet the Exalted summons you now.
Sirion shook his head.
We are not fools, brother. Well, most of us are not. I make no claims for Uzesi's state of mind. But we know you are going to meet the Exalted, and we can guess why.
Talos cast him a sidelong glance.
If you are planning to spy, you know you are doomed to failure. They won't let you in.
Then I will wait for you outside,
Sirion conceded.
The Atramantar are always such wonderful conversationalists.
He wouldn't be distracted.
This summons is about your vision. We're right, aren't we?
It's always about them,
Talos said simply. They walked the rest of the way in silence. The war room was at the heart of the ship, a vast circular chamber with four towering sets of doors leading in from the cardinal directions. The Astartes approached the southern door, taking note of the two immense figures flanking the sealed portal. Two of the Atramantar, chosen warriors of the Exalted, stood in wordless vigil. Each of the elite Astartes wore one of the Legion's precious remaining suits of Terminator armor. Their hulking shoulder guards, formed of polished silver and black iron, forged into the snarling skulls of saber-toothed Nostraman lions. Talos recognized the two warriors by their armor's insignia and nodded as he approached. One of the Terminators, his warplate etched with screeds of tiny golden Nostraman runes detailing his many victories, growled down at Talos and Sirion.
Brothers,
he said, the words a slow intonation.
Champion Malak,
Talos nodded up at the warrior. He was head and shoulders above most mortal men himself, well over 2 meters tall. Malak, in the suit of ancient Terminator plate, was closer to 3.
Prophet,
the voice drawled deep and mechanical from the tusked helm.
The Exalted summoned you.
He punctuated his words with the crackling threat of his gauntlet's claws, wreathing themselves in coruscating energy.
You,
the Atramantar repeated,
and you alone.
Sirion leaned against the wall, magnanimously gesturing for his brother to go ahead without him. His theatrical bow brought a smile to Talos's pale features.
Enter, prophet,
said the other Atramantar warrior. Talos knew the figure from the heavy bronze hammer it carried over its shoulder. Its Terminator helm, instead of sporting the half-meter tusks Malak favored, was marred by a vicious bone horn spiking from its forehead.
My thanks, Brother Garadon.
Talos had long since given up demanding that others stop referring to him as a prophet. Once the Atramantar had followed the Exalted's tendency to use the term, it had spread across the Covenant and stuck fast. With a last look back at Sirion, he entered the war room. The doors closed behind him, sealing with a click and a hiss.
So,
Sirion said to the silent, towering Terminators,
how are you?
Only two souls were present in the room, Talos and the Exalted. Two souls facing each other across an oval table that had once seated 200 warriors. Around the edges of the room, banks of cogitators and vox stations sat idle and silent. Centuries before, they had been manned by live crew, legion serfs and a small army of servitors. Now the Covenant's remaining crew strength was focused on the bridge and the other vital sections of the ship.
Talos,
came the draconic growl from the other side of the table. The darkness was ultimate. so deep it took Talos's vision several moments, to tune through the blackness and make out the other figure in the chamber.
"My prophet," the exalted continued. Its voice was as low as the purr of the warp engines. "My eyes into the unseen."
Talos regarded the vaguely humanoid shape as his sight resolved into an approximation of clarity. The exalted wore the same relic armor so revered by the Atramentar, but changed. Warped, literally. Occasional flickers of warp lighting rippled across the surface of the armor. The witchlight gave off no illumination of its own.
"Captain Vandred," Talos said, "I have come as ordered."
The exalted breathed out, long and soft, the amused exhalation ghosting through the air like a distant wind. It was the closest the creature could come to laughing.
"My prophet, when will you cease this use of my ancient name? It is no longer entertaining, no longer quaint. Our forgotten titles mean nothing. You know this as well as I."
"I find meaning in them." Talos watched as the exalted dragged itself closer to the table.
A mild tremor shook through the chamber as the creature took a single step.
"Share your gift with me, Talos, not your misguided reprimand. I control this. I am no pawn of the ruinous ones, no avatar of their purpose."
The chamber shuddered again as the exalted took another step.
"I control this."
Talos felt his eyes narrowing at the old refrain.
"As you say, brother captain."
His words caused another breathy exhalation, at once as gentle and threatening as a blade stroked across bared flesh.
"Speak, Talos, before I lose what little patience remains to me. I indulged your desire to seek a rock in the void. I allowed you to once again walk the surface of our broken home world."
"My desire? My desire?"
Talos pounded a fist onto the surface of the war room's central table, hard enough to spread a cobweb of cracks from where his fist landed.
"In a vision, I saw a fragment of our home world in the lightless black, and I led us there. Even if you don't believe that's an omen, it still brought over 100 new servitors into the ship's crew and a navigator. My desire greatly benefited the Legion, Vandred, and you know it."
The exalted drew a breath. As the air was sucked into the commander's altered throat, it sounded like a banshee's wail.
"You will address me with respect, brother."
The words were meaningless. It was the softness of the warning that made Talos's blood run cold.
"I stopped respecting you when you changed into this. Standards of decorum must be maintained. We are the Eighth Legion. We are not lost to the madness that grips the others who failed alongside us on the surface of Terra."
There were 100 answers to that, each more likely to get him killed than the last. With a swallow, Talos finally said simply,
"Yes, sir."
This was no time to argue. In truth, it never was. Words changed nothing. The corruption within the exalted ran too deep.
"Good," the creature smiled. "Now, speak of the other truths you saw. Speak of the things that matter. Tell me of the wars.
the Exalted finished.
And the names of those doomed to die.
So Talos told him, immersing himself in the flames of those memories once more, and... At first, there is nothing. Darkness, blackness. It is almost like home. The darkness dies in a genesis of fire, white hot and sun bright. It sweeps across his senses. He stumbles and falls, kneeling on the red rock of another world. He's lost his holy weapons, his Balteran blade. When his vision clears, they are not in his hands. A sudden strength invades his system. His armor's senses track the waxing and waning of power and life within his body, flooding him with stimulants to keep him in the battle, even when his inhuman physiology would require succor. They rush through his blood now, electrifying muscles and deadening nerves. As they reach his brain, his vision clears. Coincidence or providence, the warrior doesn't care. Rubble everywhere. And there, shattered and cast aside like a puppet with cut strings, another warrior in the colors of the Eighth Legion. Talos moves to him, knowing he must reach the fallen brother before anyone else. He makes it. Targeting sensors flicker and beep as they lock onto other figures, moving through the insane dust smoke all around. Yet he's the first to reach the broken corpse, but no sword, no bolter. His targeting crosshairs zero in on the fallen warrior's blade, outlining it in a threat display reticule and streaming data about the sword's construction. He blink-clicks the details of metal composites and power capacity away, and grips the blade with both hands. A press of his thumb on the activation rune starts the chainsword roaring. The others are closing in now. He has to be fast! The chain blade kisses the dark ceramite armor of the dead Astartes, grinding against the warplate for several fevered seconds before biting through. Talos carves in a quick sweep, hurling the sword aside once it has performed its function. One of the others is Uzas. He bounds forward like a beast, ignoring Talos, his hands tearing at the dead warrior's helm. By the time he has pulled it free, Talos has retreated from the scavenging, carrying the severed forearm he earned. Once the meat is removed from the armored arm, the gauntlet could be reworked and... The Exalted breathed out once more, its last breath exhalation.
Who was it? He asked. Who will fall to be plundered in death?
It was... They were... Armor of midnight blue, like everyone in the Legion. But the helm's faceplate is painted red, a leering scarlet skull. Talos
didn't see clearly, he said to the Exalted. I think it was Faroven.
Talos closed his right hand into a fist, listening to the quiet growl of the servos in every knuckle joint. The gauntlet was stiff, and Septimus had said several times it would soon need to be replaced. It was old, that was all. The years had worn it down, and although much of his armor had been replaced over time, his gauntlets were both pieces of his original Mark IV warplate. It did not trouble him to think of looting his fallen brethren, the way it might trouble a mortal to plunder the dead. The Night Lord's Legion had lost much since their failure to take the throne of Terra, and their capacity to forge new Astartes armor was severely limited. Looting the dead was a forgivable necessity in the endless war. Talos opened his hand, slowly articulating his fingers.
Yes, he said as he watched the hand move,
thinking of the night to come when this gauntlet would be replaced by another.
It was Faroven.
The Exalted made a sound Talos had heard many times, a grunt of dismissal, callous and curt.
When he dies, you are welcome to whatever you take. His demise will be no loss to the Legion. Now, continue. An explosion, rubble and smoke, the plundering of Faroven's war gear, and then...
Talos closed his eyes. And then... He sees his sword, there, lying across a spill of rubble, the gleam of the blade already dulled by a thin layer of dust. He scrambles for it, his boots crunching on the gravel underfoot. Rock chunks that were the towering wall of a manufactorum until moments ago. The blade is in his hands, a masterwork of form and function. The hilt and crossguard is crafted from bronze and polished ivory, forming the outstretched wings of an angel. Between the wings, set into the base of the blade on both sides, rubies the size of a mortal man's eyes have been cut and shaped into crimson teardrops. The blade itself is forged of adamantite stained gold, with high Gothic runes hand-scribed along the weapon's length, detailing a long and illustrious lineage of fallen foes. Talos had killed none of them, for this blade was never forged to be his. He grips it now, feeling the reassuring weight of the stolen weapon, as comfortable in his hands at this moment as it was a decade before, when he'd taken it from the dying grasp of an imperial champion. Aurum. The blade was called Aurum, the power sword of noble Captain Dumar of the Blood Angels. Its kiss was death. Like all power weapons, a ravaging energy field tore apart solid matter with every strike. But Aurum was forged when the Imperium was young, when the tech priests of Mars were as much artisans as keepers of secrets. Three times, Legion brothers have tried to kill him for this sword. Three times, Talos has slain his kin to defend this prize. He rises, activating the power cell within the hilt, burning the dust from the golden blade in a hissing rush. Lightning, tight and controlled, dances across the sword's length, bright enough to hurt his Nostraman eyes. Talos moves across the rubble. The sounds of battle are returning now. The rubble dust is clearing. He has to find his bolter before the enemy comes to sweep through the sector they just annihilated with unbelievable firepower. He can't find it. What is that accursed noise? That thunder? The world is falling apart. Blood of the ruinous ones. Where is that weapon? He
staggered under the wave of memory. As real to him in the war room as it was when the vision first struck, the exalted grunted its displeasure.
What is wrong? What happened next? The sun, Talos said. The
sun has died. He raises his head to the sky, all thoughts of seeking his bolter forgotten. A moment before it was high noon. Now the sky is dark as dusk. An eclipse. It must be an eclipse. And it is. In a way, it is. Targeting Reticule's lock on the behemoth that swallowed the sun. Information Talos doesn't see slides in jerky lines across his retinas, beamed into his eyes from his helmet's sensor interface. Alarms chime in time to the warning runes flickering, and as he looks up, he recalls why the explosion had leveled this part of the city. He looks up at the explosion's cause, Warlord Class. His senses flicker the words over and over, the alarm chimes becoming screams in his ears, as if he doesn't know what he is seeing, as if he needs to be warned that it's death itself. Over 40 meters of Mechanicus vengeance has come to destroy them all. It's taller than any buildings that remain standing. Its gargantuan weapons pan and aim, tracking the ant-like forms of the Astartes below. Its arms, cannons the length of trains, split the sky with the sound of 1,000 gears grinding, just aiming, not even firing yet. Lower, they aim, lower. The city shakes again even before the Titan fires, purely because the Iron God is moving. The Vox fires into life, voices bellowing in anger as the Imperial war machine strides closer.
Heavy weapons, he roars into the Vox general channel. Land raiders and predators, all guns on the Titan.
He doesn't even know if there are any of the Legion's vehicles left in one piece. But if they don't form a response of some kind, the Titan will end them all. With the sound of habitation towers falling, the Titan takes another step. And with the sound of a world dying, it fires again. Talos opened his eyes, only then realizing they'd been closed. The Exalted had come closer while Talos was in the grip of the vision.
Titans are no surprise, the creature said. A forge world is the War Master's priority target within the Krythe cluster.
Talos shook his head, his lip curling slightly as he made out the edges of the Exalted's horned visage in the dark.
We are going to be slaughtered. We will stand in the path of the Mechanicus' god machines, and our eyes will burn in the light of their fire.
And what of the War Master's own forces?
The exalted pressed, his eagerness lending an edge of impatience to his burbling tone. Talos was reminded of a deep cauldron brought to the boil.
What of them, sir?
My prophet,
the exalted drawled, with an unfamiliar hint of kindness. Talos tilted his head to regard his leader, suppressing a growl. The exalted was trying to mask his irritation, most likely to keep his pet seer from losing his own temper at the questioning.
Talos, my brother, you see so much, yet so little.
The exalted smiled. A portrait of too many fangs and acidic drool. Talos glared into his lord's black eyes and the twisted face of a man he'd once admired.
That is my question,
the exalted leered.
Where are they? Do you see them? Do you see the Black Legion?
I can't see them. Anywhere above, the metallic gods make war, titan against titan in the ruins of a shattered city. The air is a solid storm of cannon fire bursts and thunderous grinding as war machines loose their wrath upon one another. The titans have forgotten that battle playing out around their feet now, and the night lords, those that remain, regroup in their towering shadows.
Talos reaches his transport, the Land Raider's sloped dark hull like a beacon in the maelstrom around. And that's when he sees Sirion, still half buried in rubble almost 1,000 meters away. It's not a clean sight, nor an instant identification. The distance is significant, and at first Talos just sees a struggling figure emerging from stone wreckage, the minute movement catching his eye purely by chance. He blink-clicks the visor's zoom symbol. A name rune flashes up on his retinal display. Sirion. As his targeting systems lock onto his brother as an invalid target, he breaks into a run. Another target, Uzas, invalid target, flashes up in runic code. Uzas reaches Sirion first, climbing down the rubble behind the staggering wounded Astartes. Talos runs harder, faster, somehow knowing what's coming. Uzas raises his axe and...
And... What?
And nothing, Talos replied. It's as I've said. The War Master will send us against the Titan Legion of Krayth, and we will suffer severe casualties.
The Exalted let the silence extend for several moments, letting his voiceless displeasure speak for him.
Am I dismissed, Lord?
Talos asked.
I am far from satisfied with this meager recollection, my brother.
Talos's smile was crooked and genuine.
I will endeavor to please my commander next time. As I understand it, prophecy is not an exact science.
Talos, the exalted drawled. You are not as amusing as you think you are.
Sirion says the same, sir.
You are dismissed. We draw near to Krayth, so make final preparations. Ensure your squad is in midnight clad within the hour. We strike at the Krayth cluster's penal world first, then move on to the Forge World.
It will be done, sir.
Talos was already leaving when the Exalted cleared his throat. It sounded like he was gargling something that was still alive.
My dear prophet,
the Exalted grinned.
How is the prisoner?